So to look at yourself, I've tried to warn you to look at yourselves without the normal negias that people will tend to see themselves with, and to be honest and so on. So the Rebbe says, however, I can't be certain that you're going to be listening to what I'm telling you. There are a number of reasons why the Rebbe is a little bit worried about whether or not we're good customers. He says, even after having reviewed this and gone over this and strengthened this point, so he says, I can't be certain that you're going to hear what I'm saying. Says, first of all, there's in general a hisrashlus. There's a type of a laziness and a negligence and a lack of effort that people have with their avodas Hashem. And in betuchim b'milud v'ayni v'lechas, I'm not sure that my words are going to really help. I know it's difficult for me. I don't like to suspect you and to be the Rebbe saying, I don't want to be a pessimist. The Rebbe says, I already spoke at length in Chavis HaTalmidim, which we learned together, in the Inyanim of Zvizas, and how one has to try to make an effort to be a Zaris, to be enthusiastic in his Avodas Hashem, and B'gnus HaAtzlus, and I spoke already about the dangers of laziness. Af Hisrapus, we spoke a lot about Aslus and the difference between Aslus and Hisrapus, even if you're not outright lazy, but missing that exuberance, that excitement. So after all of you have read Chavis HaTalmidim, because that's a condition to learn Hashavas Avreich, and the Rebbe said you have to first learn Chavis HaTalmidim. So after you've learned Chavis HaTalmidim, and I spoke so much about that in Chavis HaTalmidim, so how could I suspect you of not having already mastered that and overcome that problem of Aslus and Disrapus? This is already after Chavis HaTalmidim. So I'm talking to a young man already that's a badass, that's somebody that's mature and that's come to this point. Aval manase. What should I do? Sha'uvdus mi'idais. The Rebbe was saying at that time, we're talking about already, you know, quite a few years ago, and he was writing this for an olam of that was very different from our olam in many ways. But he says the facts testify that people in general want shidchias, superficiality. People don't want to make a great effort in things. Never is Hashem. Bekalus v'lo b'yegiyah. Bekalus, they want. Everybody wants to be a tzaddik. They just, like I've said many times, they want to get like one of those one-volume books that like they have, you know, physics for idiots and philosophy for idiots. They want to have Avodas Hashem for idiots. Bekalus v'lo b'yegiyah is be simple v'lo b'yegiyah without much effort. He says, not only do we see a certain lack of effort and superficiality in the way that people are earning a living or going after the panosa, but even bochrim and avreichim, you see this even by the bochrim and by the young men who are smuchim al shulchanos hareihem, who are being supported by their parents or by their in-laws. They don't want to work hard. They don't want to put in a great effort in their avodah. And there are people, listen to this carefully, that even when they're looking in a sefer, I'm not talking about people who are not learning, but even when they're looking in a sefer, they just select and they choose the things that are easy to understand, that they don't have to struggle over, that they don't have to work hard to understand. So pick those things that they can understand, that are easy. Right? See how many dropped out from the Daf Yomi by Erevin. When it comes to something when they come up with something in learning where you have to really, really put in an effort in order to understand it, you really have to put up an effort. This happens in yeshiva not once a day, 100 times a week. And it doesn't have to be like, we're not talking about that a guy closes the Gemara necessarily, well, the Gemara is open, but you know, he sees something and it looks like, oh, this is one of these things, like I have to really think, really, really, I have to work on this very, very hard, and I'm going to have to like go over it 10 times. Let's just try to move along and not get caught up in this and so on. And now I'm not talking about kvetching a long time on one little piece of Gemara or on a little Taisus or something, but just understand the pshat. But the pshat here is very, very hard. Or a person could be sitting in a shir, and he's hearing the shir, and it starts to get a little bit complicated. So it's geschmack, it's nice, it's this, it's that. Oh, I understand, it sounds familiar. And then when there's something that's a little bit hard, so then the person sits there. We're not talking about a guy that runs out of yeshiva, but in the brain, it turns off, because this is hard. It's hard. This would require a tremendous effort on my part to understand, and medalgim. So therefore, it skips. They skip this part. But to learn this very, very quickly, kimat without understanding it. Even though, obviously, the wonders of all the English translations that are available in our times have opened up Torah to thousands and thousands of Jews who otherwise would not have any access to learning. But on the other hand, of course, there's always this problem. And how do you strike a healthy balance? Somebody that learned in yeshiva and someone that can understand the Gemara or the Rashi or the Ramban or whatever else it might be. But why should I bother? Why should I bother if somebody already went to the trouble of spelling it out? And I've had B'nai Torah that have said to me, What's the mitzvah that I should work hard over this? I mean, they already did it. So if I could understand it, why do I have to sit here and crash and waste time trying to figure out something that somebody's already explained? So the problem, there are a number of problems with that, but what the Rebbe's talking about here is that this contributes to the creation of a person who becomes intellectually lazy, becomes lazy. It's very, very, very easy to slip into that into that way of thinking, which has to affect also not just the translation of the words, to teach the words, but even when it comes to understanding and to learning anything, that the person who has been raised in a world where one has immediate access to the pshat, so without any effort at all, he can learn the pshat, and he doesn't have to work that over and to struggle to understand that. So that has to have an impact upon how he continues on with learning that sugya, or that gemara, or whatever that sefer is. A person can go through these things, klachet kimat v'lehavana. V'yeshnam bochem v'avreichem shebesefer misamtsem v'gam esakosha ha'igim. There are others who, when it comes to learning, they're not like that. They really, really do make a tremendous effort, and even if it's something difficult, even something difficult, they will concentrate on to learn. But when it comes to their avodas Hashem, in other words, they put in a tremendous effort when it comes to understanding something, when it comes to learning. But applying the things that they learn to their avodas Hashem, that's b'shitchis, that's superficial. That's superficial. They love to hear. They like to hear a good shmooze. They want to hear something. They want to see something interesting in the sefer. They want to learn and to understand matters that are more sublime and deeper. Both when it comes to nigla, when it comes to shas and poskim, hein v'chassidus, and when it comes to chassidus, they love to learn those things. And I'll tell you something else. The Rebbe says what's even more amazing. There are people who love to get blasted with Musa and to hear something like that. Mama, she says, to hear Musa, kosha af neira l'shmaya. That's to hear a Magid or a Rebbe or a Rav or a Rosh Hashiva stand up and scream Musar, strong Musar, starker Musar. And they love to hear this, which is a Pella. Why is it a Pella? Because if you're really, really listening, there should be something which is a bitter pill to swallow, and it should be something which is heartbreaking. Somebody gets up and screams and yells, and the Musar, there's going to be a great deal of criticism of the mistakes that we're making and our faults and so on. And he says that nevertheless there are people like they want, come on, Rabbi, hit us harder, we want more. Like I once mentioned to you that when I lived in Yerushalayim, it was like 25 years ago, 26 years ago. So there was a mashgiach. I used to go here in the yeshiva, very choshev a mashgiach, and I used to love to go here in Beit Vegan. And I was walking there. I was walking out with an old shul after this shmuz, and. So he said to me, you know, we were talking about the Mashgiach and Adam Gadol, and he said to me, what did you think of the Shmuz? So I said, the Shmuz was like, you know, it was a Gewaldige Shmuz. So he looked at me with such like, you know, like disdain, and he said that he was by Rebellia Lapian for many years. And he said that by Rebellia, when Rebellia would give a Shmuz, he said most of the Bachram and the Yungalite would sit there the whole time crying. And sobbing. Is now when you ask a young man, he was talking to me, when you ask a young man, how do you like the shmuz? He says, oh, it's gewaldig. I mean, the mashgiach we went to was yelling at us for like 2 hours, that you're worthless, you're nothing, and I'm coming out saying it was gewaldig. Because he said a good pshat, and like, I liked the pshat that he said in the few chazals, and he had a terrific thing in the Rabbeinu Yoina, you know, it was in the Rambam, so it was gewaldig. It's all shidchis, it's all superficial, it's just shallow, it's just on the outside. You like to hear the tzuri, you don't want to hear the teichin, you don't really... In other words, you're a person that listens to something and you enjoy it, other of it, it's terrific. But as far... And you make an effort to understand it. But as far as recognizing the ramifications that what the Mashgiach is saying, you know, what those ramifications, how that should apply to you, and to be a person of depth, to adapt from the ideas, to take from the shmuz and to draw them into your heart, into your life, that's with total shallowness. So since what the Mashgiach is saying was completely unchallenging to you, only intellectually challenging, so if you understand it intellectually and you made an effort to figure out what the tzaddik was saying or the Mashgiach was saying, so then it was gewaldig. But that's it. You leave it in the Beis Medrash, or you walk out and you tell some people, the Mashgiach said like this, he said like that, isn't that great? You hear that pshat in the Rabbanion, you hear the pshat in the Rambam, you hear what he said in the Gemara, isn't that gewaldig? And that's it, and you go to sleep, you're perfectly happy, even though he was blasting you for 2 hours. And everything that you believed in, he turned upside down, that you're the biggest idiot on earth. And that your whole life is a mistake, right? People ask, and this Jew was asking, I said, oh, it's gewaldig. Because I had no intention of applying any of that to reality. I just was interested in the shmuz. There was no intention at all of changing my life with what he was saying. It was just, I was focused on what he was saying and I was enjoying it and thinking about the ideas, and I lived in that world of the idea that he was explaining, that he was discussing. But the avoda, is b'shitchis. So therefore you could have such a strange situation where someone actually loves to hear very harsh musar. They love to hear harsh musar.
I
don't. I would know. It's like how many? What? I don't know where. But there's a certain amount that I know. People, you know, the people tell me lechatchila. They go there to hear Shabbos Shuvah because Imam is like gives it to everybody, and he puts down and he criticizes, and people go to hear that. They go lechatchila to hear that. So I'm sure his intention is l'shem shemayim. Even though I personally disagree with that mahalach, I'm sure his intention is l'shem shemayim. But when the people say, you know, that it's going to be gewaldig, it's going to be geschmack, you know, let's see who he puts down, you know, let's see who he criticizes in this Shabbos Shuvah drasha. So, I mean, I hope his intention is Hashem Shemayim. If not, it's a big error to talk like that to Jews. But the people are going to go because they want to hear something like that. So what does that mean? If he's saying something which is critical of things that we're doing that need improvement, then you have to be a very, very big elachayid to want to go hear that for the purpose of changing. But if people are saying, it's like, you know, the same way, you know, let's go to the theater because there's something really exciting, or let's go to see some boxing match or wrestling match because, you know, we're going to see who's going to get beaten up worse. So that's how they go to a shiur nowadays, that you have people that will go to a drosha or to a shiur because it's going to be really exciting because, you know, you never know who's going to get beaten up. So that's a machlo of shidchis. That's the machlo of superficiality. Because it's not negated to you. So when this person told me that Mabelo Apian was saying his shmuz, that they would sit there, the Bochum and the younger life, and they were crying and crying and sobbing when he would speak. Because why? It was Nagir El Halev. It touched the heart. And not just because of what they heard, because of what it implied and what it meant for their lives and how they knew that it wasn't just something that was interesting, but it was mechayev them. It was, every word was mechayev them to change and if I'm not changing, then what's the tachlis of going to the shmuz? What am I wasting his time and my time? What am I doing with my life? It's a certain way of looking at Avodas Hashem in a pnimiyistik way. So that's what the Rebbe is saying over here. He says it's a pella. But to actually strengthen themselves and to make the effort to pay close attention to every single thought, word, and action, and which is what the Musa is about, and to what? To peel away all that's wrong, to remove what's wrong from one's life. And to draw themselves into holiness. Well, you sound so. So they won't make the effort. So they can have notebooks and loose leaves with notes. And you can have a person that can go nowadays, you don't have to ever write it down. You can listen to Shmuzin in the car, you're driving, right? You have everything on tape or IP or MP, I don't remember which thing it is. And you can drive around, you can hear this thing, and you could say, and you could be listening to someone saying, and therefore the tachlis of your life, you're hearing this tape, and then you get a call and you pens, and then, you know, like you're on the phone, you say, you know, 12 cases of, you know, Diet Pepsi, and the tachlis, and then you get another call, okay, I'll pick up the diapers, and the whole thing is like this, and how is the shmuz? Gevalde, I really enjoyed the shmuz. Someone told it to me once about, there was a certain shmuz that I gave many years ago before I tried to be much more moderate like I am now. And it was really, really very strong. So this person, I met this person, he said that he heard this tape, and he said he really enjoyed it. I said, you enjoyed that? How can you enjoy that? He says, why? You know, the Rapsodic, and I said, I didn't mean for you to enjoy that. That wasn't meant for your listening pleasure. Like, you know, people listen to like music, so they put on they'll hear a shmuz. Oh, it's an exotic and it's a little bit of Tanya. It's a nice little sprinkling of Sfasam. It's a pleasure. That's not my intention. It wasn't my intention to hurt anybody. My intention was to open something up. But oh, I enjoyed it. So this is a machla. It's a machla of laziness and avoda and shidchis and superficiality and avoda Hashem. Then, so it's not something which is negeya. It's not something which has any practical bearing upon my life. So all I hear is I hear the outside of the shmuz. So I hear the tzaddik of tzaddik. You hear something from tzaddik. It's not enjoyable. Anything from tzaddik, it's enjoyable. So you hear the outside. Every word that came from Rabbi Nachman Reslovich should make us cry. I'm not only talking about the thing, every word that he said, when he said it, he himself was sobbing. And you could listen to Rabbi Nachman, and we could hear Rabbi Nachman, we could look at Rabbi Nachman, and oh, wow, that's beautiful. It is beautiful. But the outside is just magnificent. It's the most magnificent thing on earth, Rabbi Nachman's Torah. But if a person is listening be'emes inside, how could we not break down and fall to pieces? We should be crawling on the floor, crying. But this is the machla of shidchis. It's a sickness. Because to change the way that I think and to remove that which is wrong and to bring myself into Kedusha, lo yisamsu. So they don't make that effort. Im mipnei shebilimudam b'svarim mikatnusum nisragu lavei kosher b'cheder yeshiva v'chulu mashenkin b'avoida. He said, look, when it comes to actually understanding what we're learning, from the time that we're young, we've been in the habit of trying to be successful in what we learn. Jews are smart people. Usually in cheder, in those days, certainly there was an incentive to try to succeed. The incentive was, if not, you could get beaten over the head. And nowadays, so there aren't too many beatings, at least in our circles. So the other incentives are grades and, you know, to be motivated. So from the time that we're young, and we're a little in cheder, she says, we've gotten used to, at least when it comes to thinking, we've gotten used to trying to put in a big effort when it comes to thinking. Masha'en ken b'avayda. However, when it comes to avaydas Hashem, lo nisrag lo mikatnusam lavar b'kosha. That's not something that nobody could climb into Yekishkas, and from the time that you were a kid, nobody could do that for you, and and what was motivating a person to be a Baal Avodah from the time that he was a child? When it comes to understanding, and looking smart, and sounding smart, and being successful, and having good grades, and being able to slug up something in Shir, or to emfer up a Rebbe's Kasha, all of that stuff, there's plenty of motivation, and we're used to that from the time that we're kids, to be the smartest kid, to try to answer up something. That, there's plenty of reasons why a kid would do that from the time that he's little. That's very competitive amongst Jews in that respect. But when it comes to Avodah, which is very personal and very hidden, what kind of an Avodah Hashem you are, which is very, very hidden. You know, my kids, when they always ask, another, how can the teacher give us a grade for davening? Like in the report cards, they have a grade for. So they don't like that. Like, you know, I remember. I think my chani, she said, how does Mara know what I'm davening with? What does that mean? It's, you know, for tefila they have on the report card. And how do you get a grade for tefila? When a little kid says, I explain that, I don't think the Mara doesn't mean what you're thinking, what you're feeling. It means if you, you know, and she had good grace, beautiful grace, but she just didn't understand. How does Mara know how I'm davening? So I said, I think that Mara just means that, you know, you're standing in your place, and you're not running around, or whatever, you're looking in the city, but only Hashem knows it's true. Only Hashem grades us on our Avodah. Who else can give you a grade when it comes to Avodah? No one can give you a grade, right? A person is only very Leinayim. A person can only see with his eyes. Only the Baruch Shalom sees in the heart of a person. So and when it comes to Avodah, from the beginning, there's only self-motivation. It's a very personal and hidden thing. So we're not used to being driven to excel from the time that we're children when it comes to Avodah. We're not driven to excel. And we don't necessarily, unless a person is very, very, very self-motivated. He says, Lenin Saragda Bekadunsam, Lava Bekosha. From the time that we're young, we haven't gotten used to hard work when it comes to Avodah. Avodah is Hashem, Tefillah, Tikkun Amidas, and so on. Lachein lo yisam tzibur. It's the nature of a person. Therefore, the effort is not made. A poshut kevin shetachlis kolimudam hi avodosam. Or he says a poshut. Or we could say also that since the tachlis of everything that we learn in Torah is avodosam, is to make us into bigger, bigger avdim, right? The tachlis of all that we're learning is to strengthen and to deepen our actual practical avodas Hashem. That's the tachlis of learning mitzvah semasim toivim. The shabbat ulahavid as atzmam, to be mishabbat us and to make us work harder on being greater Jews. That's the tachas of learning. Is to draw every single part of ourselves closer to Kedushas Hashem. And to serve Hashem. Therefore, in that respect, in that area of life, the Yetzirah is unbelievably strong not to see the urgency of implementing what I'm learning. The whole tachlis of what you're learning is to make you into a greater Jew, and to make you closer to Hashem. Therefore, The Yetzer will allow a person to sit, even a person who's not intellectually lazy, and it will allow a person to sit 3 hours over a Shai Gisayi, over six lines of a Shai Gisayi, and the Yetzer will let you sit for 3 hours, and he doesn't stare you. He lets you sit and work over that Shai Gisayi. But 30 seconds of real davening, the Yetzer doesn't give you. And 30 seconds of, he'll let you sit for 2 hours over a piece from Likut HaMoran, or a piece of Tanya, or a piece of Sfas Emes, or a piece of Reb Sadi. And he'll let you learn 10 Ma'amarim from Michtav Melio. He'll let you learn all of that. And you'll come out saying, it was gewaldig, it was geschmack, you know, I really should try to think about these things, I really should try to live this way, I really should try to change, and so on. But then the Yetzer comes and it doesn't let it get anywhere. It doesn't go. Because since here the Yetzer knows, the other side knows, that this is where you cash in. He'll let you learn the Torah as long as you don't apply it to your life. He'll let you learn the Torah. But if you start to get serious about it, if you start to get serious, if you take it to heart, and you want to apply these terrors to your life, and you want to change, so then the Yetzer gets nervous, because that's his panasa, you understand? That's already his panasa. That you're figuring out a tesis for a couple hours, that's beautiful. But from that, the Yetzer, that's also, there's the Yetzer. He spoke about to be lazy intellectually, but if you're not such, if you've overcome that, and you're intellectually motivated, and you want to succeed, you want to excel, and you want to show your Rebbe that you're smart, and you can answer this and do that. But then the next step, which is, how do you take your Torah and make it into Avodah? How do you make yourself into a bigger Avod Hashem with your Torah? Then the Yetzer gets to work. Then he rolls up his sleeves and says, hold on a second. We're not letting you get too serious about this. It's one thing to sit and to understand it and to talk about it and to slug up and this and that and fight and argue and say all kinds of fancy svaras and to have notes and to have tapes. But the second that you want to actually apply any of that to your life and to become a bigger Eved Hashem and to change your way of learning, living and davening and so on, Tikkun Amidus, in Yonim of Kedush and so on, so then the Yetzer comes and gets involved. That this is something which he fights very, very hard against, that a person should become a bigger Eved Hashem. So that's an obvious problem that we have. And these are not different reasons, it's all one reason. Why is it that when it comes to Avodah, our Avodah is B'shitchias? Why is our Avodah so superficial? So the Rebbe is saying is that even a person whose learning is not superficial, the Avodah can still be superficial, which is odd, because you look at this person, you see that he's a hard-working guy. He'll sit for a long time over a Taisis. He'll sit and work over a Shai Gisai. He'll sit for a couple hours and try to figure out what Reb Tzadik is saying of the Sfas Emes. He's a hard-working fella. He's good. And yet, when it comes to Zavayda, we don't see that. When it comes to Zavayda, we don't see it. Kedusha and other in Yom Shmir, we don't see that. How could it be such a disconnect? And he's an honest person. And if you'd ask him what's going on, he'd probably crack. You know, my crack will say, "Echinami and Echinami," you know, or some other yeshiva shiur. But Lemaisa, why aren't you doing it? Why aren't we doing it? The Teretz is that there's a very, very big Yetzer. That when it comes here, the other side in its kaiches, in its effort to stop us, is not superficial in this regard. It's very, very, it works very hard. That it shouldn't, that the person's learning shouldn't develop into something which changes him as an Eved Hashem, and makes him into an Eved Hashem Be'emes. So there the Yetzer is very, very, very stark. Very stark. He says, Ein lanu mala hoisif al ma shedibarnu v'zeh. He said, what can I add? And if I add, so what's it going to help? So people say, oh, Hashem is a friend, it's a gishmak is safe. It's a gewaldige safe, Hashem is a friend. So what am I going to do? So man noel the dibereinu. In min oinikazeh nispatech lehem. If all I'm going to do with continuing with my safer is contribute to the further development of this type of pleasure that you have. In other words, I'm going to continue writing a safer for your reading pleasure. So what's the tachlis? In other words, so I'm going to be another one of these. I'm going to be another one of these swarm or I'm going to spend. You know, I'm going to spend all this time of putting all my kaiches into writing a sefer that people should be able to say, boy, isn't that interesting, that's geshmak, because that's not my tachlis. To develop in you, he says, I want to open up before you and develop in you an einig, some new pleasure. They're going to be saying, there are plenty of good svarim, you know, that if you're looking for pleasure in learning, there's a lot of good svarim that they're going to, I don't need to write another sefer for that. So if I add more, so then you're going to say, come on, Rebbe, let me have it, because then you could go home and say, oh boy, you should have heard what the Pizessna said today. Oh boy, that was something. Wasn't that something? But they said, what do I need to do then? Like I told you, when we were learning the Narmei Lamelech a little bit, I said, how the Rebbe Lamelech didn't want to write the Sefer. He says, what do I need to write a Sefer that some Yid, after he eats his Cholent, should drop me on the floor from the couch? That's what the Narmei Lamelech said. That's why I should put all my neshama into writing, into putting my neshama into a piece of paper, so some Yid's going to fall asleep and I'm going to end up under the couch. He said. It's the tachlis. He says that l'shmol l'sragish and musa charef, that there's going to be a sragishus from strong musa. I'm going to be another one to give more material. There should be more material out there. For what of strong musa, sharp musa, which he's been doing the last 10-15 pages, right? It's been very sharp. So he's saying at this point, the Rebbe's saying, you know, it's already enough. Either you are or you're not. What am I going to do? I've already given enough. I've already given enough musa. And there's enough material here for you to for those of you who enjoy getting beaten up, you know, and hearing sharp words. You already have enough stuff. Like you'll have one of the favorite pastimes of Yeshiva Bachim is to talk about like how Rosh Yeshivas and Rebbes said things like the Shtach Other, like you know, it's Israel, especially in Yerushalayim. There's a famous Rosh Yeshiva, it's a Talmud Chacham, that uses very strong Lashonis. And like guys love to like handle over what he says, because he put down, did you hear? He put down this Rosh Yeshiva, he put down, did you hear what he was saying? Everybody's like schmoozing about this, how this, you know, and there's a sharp kite. Now wants to say a sharp kite, you know, something sharp in what that Rosh Yeshiva said. So what's the tachlis? What's the tachlis? Again, the assumption is that the person who says that is because he needs to say certain things to clarify the truth, beside it. But as far as how others listen to it and how people receive that, and having a whole gishmak talking about the sharp things that this Rav said or this Rav Shashiva said or something that said a sharp thing. So he says, what do I have to contribute to that? It's like the people that they have such a pleasure when they drink very, very, very strong schnapps, very strong liquor. You know, that's a taluk. That's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, right? So notice to say, you have a person who likes to have strong musa, like it gives him pleasure, and he has a strong schnapps, it gives him pleasure, a strong chayin, right? It's a certain charifas. Well, charifas, the people that they like and their food, like they like to have, like the sradim meat, they want to have charif, you know, it's geshmak. It gets things moving. Right? Davkechar ola hartich b'mikveh resachas, you have a yid that his biggest geshmak in life is to have a heise mikveh, you know, it's a certain pleasure, hat mikveh. I told you about that yid that was in Warsaw. And nobody else went into the mikveh. I told you 3 weeks ago, nobody else went to this mikveh. This one year, there was a burning, burning, inhuman, hot mikveh. And only this Alta Yid was able to go in there. Everybody else was just standing on the side in awe and watching, you know, this old Yid go into the mikveh. And when he got into the mikveh, he gave a krech. You know, so it was not from this world, that mikveh. It was mamish boiling. And he's sitting there with his beard. And he says, Rabbi Shalom, may no goy ever have such pleasure like I'm having now. That's what he said. May goy no goy ever have such pleasure. There's a geshmak, a heise mikveh. But if a person thinks about it, I mean, how did the Baal Shem Tov go into the mikveh? Whether it was cold, whether it was hot, he didn't have too many hot mikvehs there in those days in Mezhmiz. And the river certainly over there is not hot. So how Baal Shem Tov was shvius halev, b'chiyus. And taking off his spashtus hagash, was taking off all of the slightest traces of this world. father remembers that in his hometown in Hungary, there was in the mikveh, there was a yid, a shaykhet, he would go in. The father said he remembers him as a kid, he looked like he was as big as the mikveh. He said he had a neck like this, a shaykhet, a Berche, he says, his name, Beryl, they called him a Berche, the shaykhet. He was also about tefillah. My father is like this. So he would go into the mikveh, and everybody would run out from the mikveh, and he would scream out, "Dom!" As he would say, "Steam! Steam!" And they were all afraid of him, and the shamus of the mikveh was there, and they had steam, and he would turn up the steam, and all the boys were standing on the side, and the Berche was standing in the mikveh, and the steam would start coming up like from Gehenna. And the Berche was like, "Oh!" And everybody was like, all the guys like cheering, all the bachim and the little kids were, Rebetz in the mikveh. So, you know, it's hard to believe that that's what the Ariya Kaddish had in mind, with the kavanas, you know. All right, it's good, because he eats in the mikveh, and that's beautiful. Don't think, and that's beautiful. It's mamish a beautiful thing. But Lemaisa, you know, it's part of, it's a tonic, like a schnapps, you know, like a schnapps. And remember, these were people that Rebetz, you could be sure, didn't have hot running water in his, and his dira. He didn't have any hot water in his dira. So, you know, that's where they went, to have a hot, you know, they went to enjoy it, to have a geschmack. My father said the mikveh in his hometown was like a men's club. You know, they were there, they would stay there on Arab Shabbos for 4 or 5 hours. They would hang out. They were hanging out because it was like hot. It was hot. You know, it was a hot bath and there was steam, you know, and it was unbelievable. They went there like that was their geschmack, right? I remember when I was a kid, my father used to take me. They didn't have any more like that, mikvahs like that, and we only had like a lukewarm, you know, it wasn't a mikvah. But he would take, you know, he had this thing like we have to go to the schwitz. And like my father, I didn't understand like why I had to go, but it was like a thing that I had to go. It was like my initiation to being a man or being a yid or something. I don't know what it was, but my father was like, I went, you ever go, you go to that funny room, and all the yidna sitting there with a towel, and I hated it. I hated it. And I didn't understand. I would ask my mother, like, why is that? Like, why did that, you know? In the winter, almost every Sunday, we went to the schwitz. And my mother says, "Just daddy likes you to go, just go." And I don't know. I sit there going to the streets. My father says, Isn't that something? I don't mind schwitzing, like, you know, if you're running after a fly ball, if you're going up and down the court, but like, where am I sitting with these alpha yidden? You know, with everybody, I remember that horrible picture. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if you ever went, you know what a schwitz is. It's like, it's a horrible picture. And everybody's sitting there, their eyes closed, and they're like, this is good. Oh, is this good? Is this good? And I'm saying, like, but I had to go. All right, but it's a geschmack, whatever it is. There's a certain geschmack that a person has from the scharfkeit and the chalifas and the chamimas. Why? It's like we saw in Savas ears, because a person wants to have stimulation, wants to. It's a geschmack. To have a heise mikveh, to have a real hot mikveh. Shemizesh is sorry for lehem begroinam. When they drink the schnapps, and it burns their throats. Or ba'irim, or the hot mikveh burns the flesh. Dafkehim esangim. To have a tonic from that. To have a tonic. To have a pleasure. My father all the time, so goes on saying, with the chrein. So my father, years ago, my father would make, you know, like, he always was in charge of making the chrein, not just for Pesach, but he would make chrein also during the year. But then afterwards, you know, he stopped with the chrein to make the chrein, to get older. So my father has this thing every time, like, you know, if you'll put out the bottled stuff, so you'll get where it says, you know, it says extra, extra, strong. My father says, well, this is chrein. This is chrein. That's not chrein. That's not chrein. there's an Indian, like, you know, to burn everything away. Just to burn it away. She says, Dav gehem esanagim, it's a tonic. Yisyasru v'yisayru medvareinu. So I'm going to say sharp words and strong words to burn you. And then you're going to have it. Yisyasru v'yisayru medvareinu. you might have a big hesiris. I'm gonna write a sefer, and you're gonna have a big hesiris. Wow, look what the Rebbe's saying. It's gevaldig. It's true. But he says from Kolze, La says Leisamtsim. What's the tachlis? But to actually to apply and to put it to use and to change your lives, Leisamtsim. You're not gonna try. So the Rebbe's sharing with us his own doubts about whether or not he should continue. It's a remarkable thing if you think about it, how he's writing this. You don't see this in another sefer. There's no question that every tzaddik has such machshavas, but to actually share them with us. He says, if you look at the svar of the tzaddikim from earlier years, then you'll see that the ikkar was always avayda b'yigia. The whole tachlis of everything was just avayda b'yigia. Avayda b'yigia, to work hard, to take the things and to work hard. Because in the Tanya, in the section of the Tanya, Igeres HaKadosh, Yud Beis, Yisra Shebechlal, Loshna Avayda, Ene Neufel, El Aldov, Shodom, Oysa Bigi, Atzuma, Neged Teva Nafshe. The Tanya talks Keseda, in different places in Tanya. It's not even called Avayda Hashem. Why is it called Avayda Hashem? He said you can't even apply the word Avayda, the Tanya says. The only thing that could actually be classified as avaida is if you do something with tremendous effort against your teva. That's called avaida. Like he says earlier in Tanya also, with the Ein the Gemara says a person who chazes is learning 100 times, 101 times. It's the teva at that time. The Tanya says was to review 100 times when they were learning Torah Shabbat Peah completely orally and they didn't have svarim. So the person who makes that effort to go 101 times, it's not just one more time, right? It's going to negate the teva, going against your teva. Shemevatal tivoy ritzayinu bnei rotzen ha'elyon baruch hu. That's called avoda. When you mevatal your own teva, when you put aside your own teva, bnei rotzen ha'elyon, because of Hashem's rotzen, because of what Hashem wants from you. That's called avoda. Kigoyin liyageya atzmei b'teira means to put in a Torah learning with yegiya. With Yigiyah means against your teva, more, beyond, deeper. All of that, but it has to be beyond your teva, beyond your natural inclinations and kaiches. That's called Yigiyah. That's called a tiny, that's called Avayda. Otherwise, it's not called, it doesn't rate to even be called Avayda. Ubetfil and davening admitzi hanefesh mamish, to squeeze out from your soul whatever you can. Ad kan l'shana hakodesh. Af had tzaddikim agdeishim ba'atzman el gadlus kedushasim, and so it was with all the tzaddikim. How did they reach their great level of kedusha? Lo'i ben akel. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. We don't know, but we don't know what was involved. But it wasn't easy. Rak ba'avoda kasha higiyu is only with avoda kasha mamish. Vloirak el Ramimus Kiramimusam. Rak el Kult Taharuk, Taharuk Dusha Kalechlafimatsovali, Blairyevshalishigir. So forget about reaching the great exalted levels of the Tzaddikim, no. But even to reach the most basic level of Tahara and Kedusha, each person according to his level. Never mind, you're not going to forget to reach the level of Chavetz Chaim, to reach the level of Chassam Seif, or Baal Shem, or Tzaddikim. Even from our generation, but to reach anything of Kedusha and Tahara, it can't happen. Without breaking yourself against your teva and going beyond yourself, it's not going to happen. It's not called avoda. Ef shaleshiyagia, you can't reach.
It just seems like personally to me that it's almost beyond for me, beyond the Yetzer Hara. It's like I'm locked in. When I think of the Yetzer Hara, it's like I'm feeling a challenge towards a certain thing. I have the Yetzer Hara to go do this pleasure or whatever it is. And then I can begin to fight. If I lose, I lose. I win. I feel the challenge. But this is like I go into shul like Rebbe saying, "What? Oh, it's a geschmacker thing. I'm wishing to do tshuva. I mean, I'm wishing to change. But when I'm in there, I'm so out of touch or something with my the right thing, the right part of me, that I'm not even. It's like this save is a preface to even begin tshuva or anything else, because you got to first be in touch with yourself to be able to begin hearing the shmooze the right way to start doing tshuva."
So no, you're 100% right. No one would say, God forbid, that you shouldn't go to the shmuzim, and you shouldn't be part of that. But you're 100% right. What the Rebbe's saying is that I feel that I must tell you before I go further with the cipher, even though there's no guarantee that you're not going to just end up using this as another geschmack thing on your reading list. But I must tell you, he says, that really, without avaida, there's no tachlis. And all that a person learns, and all a person's tefillahs and everything, the Rebbe's saying is, without avaida, it's not that it's meaningless, chas v'shalom, of course it is, because it's a way of chipping away at a person's yetzahar. And one shouldn't think, God forbid, that so no, there's no tachlis, so that I'm going to start learning and I'm going to stop learning and doing. Of course, God forbid, we do all good things, and all good things have an effect. But if a person has a she'ifa, if a person is truly longing for something of kedusha and tahara, the Rebbe is saying here, to become a Baal Madrega. According to his level and his abilities to become a Baal Madrega, without avoda, he can't do it. It's not shaykh to do it. And there he says, there's so much, we see in the Svarma Kedoshim, there's so many different strategies and different ages that we have for avoda Hashem. The Sefer HaKadosh told us, Yaakov Yetz, Pash Tzchuk, Yisa B'Shem Kedoshim, Kedoshim, Baal Shem Tov, Shibbis Achbulus Davki Yasim Lacham. Well, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh explains, and it says in Pasuk, and that Yisachbulai Tassim L'Chom, that means one has to use all different types of aces and strategies to outsmart and outwit and to do different things that we can to try to help our Avodas Hashem. But what the Rebbe is explaining here is that all of the strategies, there are wonderful, wonderful Svarim that offer all kinds of aces of how to overcome the Yetzar. But the bottom line is, if you're not a Baal Avoda, then it's just interesting things, but you're not going to actually apply them to your life. That's the problem. The more of Hashemesh Pashas Balak Isa Ayyosesh, it's Yitzvichim Echol Pam Tachbulus Chadoshes. The more of Hashemesh says, not only that, you have to come up with new strategies all the time, things you see in Svarm, things of your own strategies. Every single strategy that you use, an eitzah that you try to come up with or hear, it helps you to draw Hashem's light into your life. The more of Hashem says, and you have to always have new ones, because every time you have a good eitzah to make you into a better Jew, better learning, better davening, better tikkun amidas, every time you have a good eitzah, so the eitzah comes to close that. So you have to always have new ideas and new eitzes, new tachbulais, new strategies in being an Eved Hashem. Tzorach ulahamtzi l'tachbulis chadosh v'zayin sham. Avaydu mulcham akoshi, at shetzvichim tachbulis shenis alay. It's a very difficult war that we're in with the Yetzar, and you have to always come up and apply new strategies. But tachbulis shekvayim tziyu lanu l'dayin, I'll call you mechayin. You can't just use the same tachbula, the same strategy, the same eitzes that you used all the years when you were younger, because when you use that, you see it doesn't really work now. And you have to be honest and say, it's not working. It worked years ago, it worked yesterday, it's not working now. I've got to try something different. A different tachbula. Like Thomas Sichem Lechadosh, it has to always be new. Page Samach Dal. V'imyala al daitel shalmimikam sheyeshev shoros lahamsi b'shilo tachbulas kol kach toivis ad shagam leitztarech lavad l'siyageya toz nor musukan utaya. Aye, but fellas, what you're probably thinking, or some of you might be thinking, is can you come up, Rebbe, can you come up with some eitzah for me, where you give me an eitzah in Avodas Hashem, where I don't have to work. An eitzah where I don't have to work. Like, everybody wants a job like that, everybody wants a school like that, a school where you don't have to work, or a teacher, even if you're in the school, who's an easy A. and then you want that the school should be an easy degree, and you want that carries over to your avodas Hashem. It should be. Everything should be easy. You want a parnasa, that everybody wants to have a job where I don't have to work, right? And so the same thing. I want to have an avodas Hashem where I don't have to work. So I want some sort of a tachbul. In other words, if Rebbe, if you'd really, really be a big baal yetzer, you'd give me a way of how to get over my yetzer without hard work. Right? That's what we would like. Who could come up with such a sefer like that? A sefer that'll tell you how to fight off all the taivas of this world and the yetzers of this world without having to work hard. Like a new system. And sometimes you read in some of the English books that they have almost a shyness like that. Like, you know, again, for made easy, Yiddishkeit made easy. And there's a certain tone in some of the writings of some of the things that are coming out from Eretz Yisrael and English things in America, which almost sound like that. Almost sound like that. It's very dangerous. Yeah, so.
Can you, like, let's say, lie or to overcome your Yitzhahar, let's say, like, somebody, like a guy comes over to you and says, come with me to this place, and it's a tummy place, you know, and so you're trying to think quickly of an excuse, and you say, I can't because my mother needs me at home, I need to watch my little brother.
100% you could do it.
Can do
1,000,000% you could do it. But I have a better Eitzah, since we're talking about Eitzahs. Tell him, Eved Hashem Anoichi. Tell him that you're a Mushkus, you don't have a Neshama, and I'm a Yid. I don't go to those places, I don't do those things.
Won't ask you again.
It's the easiest thing. Try it. It's a Givaldiga strategy. I mean, you lose a lot of friends that way. But you don't have like, it's much less complicated. That's why I said that I once told you, it says in the Moses farm that when Eliezer was there and he had to handle, you know, so what, where is he with Lovin over there? And it's a bad place, right? Besuul Lovin. So when he comes, so they want to start discussing the Shidduch. So Eliezer says, what? Eved Avraham Anoichi. Why does he have to say that? He already introduced him. He already knew who he was because there was a whole section before that. Everybody knew that he was the servant of Avram. So before he gets involved in any negotiations, I just want to tell you something. Eved Avraham Anoichi, which means to be careful. And the Malmusa that I saw this and said, I don't remember where it was, many years ago. He said that that's how he has to deal with it when it comes to these things. He said, Eved Hashem Anoichi. Eved Hashem Anoichi. Once you start getting into these negotiations and to try to, it's true, you're allowed to do that, by the way. That's what I said. But once a person starts to think of all kinds of hamtzos and all kinds of things and with an edelkeit and to the point, so then the other side, the sitrachu says, oh, he's a customer. It's just we have to work a little harder. When a person's way of dealing with the Yitzhar is no. It's not at all. I don't go to these things. I'm interested in these things. I'm sorry. But I said, no, I would love to go with you, but I can't because my mother wants me, right? Or I would love to go with you, but I can't because I got to do my schoolwork. I would love to go with you. So these lashonos, there's a pesach for all tumah. A person has to close down, shut down all of those websites of his life. And they say, b'shum eifen, Eved Hashem Anoichi. Either person's going to think you're a fanatic. Well, so what? So what? Then he won't bother you next time and say he's a Michigan. I'm not talking. There's no bigger broken you have in life, and the people leave you alone. And then you, who are your friends? Your friends are people who are growing together with you in Avodas Hashem. Someone tells you, you want to come to this place? No. And even if he says to you, what do you mean? Oh, you became a tzaddik. I remember you. So say, it has nothing to do with it. I'm finished. No more. Done. Gemara. Obviously, that's when you're talking to a person, a friend. When someone talks, there are people that are having honor with parents or a husband or wife. You have to be careful to be diplomatic. But still, a person says some guy they want to go. Yeah. I don't go. Go with some tag. Enjoy yourself. It's not for me. So, Eved Hashem Anoichi. All right, so I have to get to a bris. So it's not going to be Rav Kook's year. I'm going to Simcha. So we'll continue with Shem next week.